Dave and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Halfway through the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend, Andrew Gross. Andrew covers the New Jersey Devils for the Record newspaper. You can also read his work at northjersey.com. He's the author of the fantastic Fire and Ice blog. Andrew, good afternoon, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. New address for me this year, but still in the NHL, so that's good.
Absolutely. We're so used to you for the last, bet you 4 or 5 years, at least since this show's been around, having you on as you used to cover the Rangers, but you've now stayed on the other side of the river to cover the Devils. You enjoying the Devils beat so far?
Yeah. No, it's a fun group to cover, you know, good bunch of guys, and I think they're building something in New Jersey. Obviously, Ray Shiro is a proven NHL GM, you know, having built a good portion of that Penguins Cup team from last season before he got let go. And, John Hines is a bright young coach in this league, so it's been fun. There have been some bumps, you know, last two games. They've gotten away from what they want to do. And coming to Winnipeg for Tuesday's game, you know, they got to play the Penguins tonight first. But it's been a little rough lately for them. But in general, I think the future is pretty bright in New Jersey.
Fantastic on home ice so far this year, 7-0-2, haven't lost in regulation. Terrible away from the Prudential Center, 3-6-2. What's the difference between home and away so far for this Devils team?
Well, you know, they were starting to come around on the road. They went 0 for California, and I think a lot of teams in the East struggle when you go Anaheim, Los Angeles, San Jose. That's just not an easy streak. So those are three losses right there. Before that, they had kind of evened things out on the road. You know, their first two real road trips were the Florida-Tampa Bay swing, and they played, you know, a really bad game down in Tampa. I don't want to say it's isolated. You're right. They've been much better on home ice. They talk, you know, about the boost they're getting from the crowd, and it sounds cliche, but, I mean, the Prudential Center has not necessarily been a huge home ice advantage for them, and it certainly wasn't last season. And we're, you know, in terms of wins and losses, and also in terms of the atmosphere and the electricity and the intensity in the building. You know, Hines and a few of his players have talked a few times this season about how that was kind of missing last season, and they're getting a boost from the fact that the fans just seem to be more into it this season.
Andrew, Mike Camilleri, he's in his third year with the Devils, had a very underrated year last year, in my opinion, even though he missed half of the season. But he missed 2 weeks this season. He was dealing with his daughter and her bout with pneumonia, missed about 2 weeks with the Devils, came back, had 4 points in his first game back, and then he had another 2 points yesterday. Just how important is Mike Camilleri to this team's offense?
Yeah, in terms of the point production, but you know, he's kind of a, you know, pepper pot spark plug on the ice, you know, a little guy that just goes, dives for pucks, works along the walls, just kind of does anything he can to keep the puck moving forward. And he's also kind of a force of personality in the room, and I think sometimes that gets overlooked, but they were really missing that, you know, the 6 games he was not in the room. They missed that presence. You're right. He had an underrated season last season. He was basically a point-a-game guy before the hand injury knocked him out for the rest of the year, essentially. And you know what? He didn't want to make excuses, but the long layoff, he just was out of whack at the beginning of this season. Whatever it was, you know, the long layoff, just getting acclimated back to playing again, he just, you know, the hands, just weren't there at the beginning of the season. The legs weren't going as fast. He had a hat trick shortly before going off on that leave of absence, and that those were his first three goals of the season. And since then, he really has been able to take over games for stretches when he's on the ice.
Andrew, what is with these run-and-gun Devils the last few games? Not the usual structure we're used to seeing from them. Is this just an anomaly?
They better hope it is, because they can't win like this. you know, as I wrote in today's, you know, paper and online, you know, the fans have probably been going out of their minds, because this is something they never see at a Devils home game. You know, a 5-4 shootout victory over the Maple Leafs, and then last night's 5-4 overtime loss, and it's up and down the ice, and it's exciting, and there are chances here and there, although the Devils have not been getting enough chances. The other team has. But the Devils, they can't get points on a consistent basis this way. They're much more of a meat and potatoes team, even though they're not, you know, the old Devils of, you know, Lou Lamoriello's neutral zone trap and all that. They are far from that. You know, they're much more up-tempo team under Coach Hines, but it's still defense first. And, you know, both the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings just had all this time and space all over the ice the last couple of games. And, you know, it came back to bite the Devils last night.
Andrew Gross is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show discussing the New Jersey Devils. The Devils, of course, in town to play the Jets on Tuesday night. Andrew, the big offseason splash was Taylor Hall being acquired from the Edmonton Oilers, you know, out of the lineup right now. But when he was in the lineup for the Devils, you know, 12 points in his first 14 games. Just how has Taylor Hall changed the dynamic of the New Jersey Devils lineup so far this season?
Yeah, you know, he really added to the team's speed, and he gave them, you know, that, you know, as good as Michael Camilleri is, Taylor Hall is that top-line goal scorer or playmaker that, you know, the teams are built around, which is not to denigrate Michael Camilleri at all, because he's been fantastic lately. But Taylor Hall is an elite player in this league when he's going. And I think, you know, one of the things, because here in the East, you know, you just don't see the Western Conference teams on a day-in, day-out basis. You kind of see the stats and you catch them while you can. I just, you know, Taylor Hall has been very impressive in just how he makes a beeline for the crease at all times, and also how physical he plays along the walls. He can impose his will on games, you know, in physically and turning the puck over and hounding teams on the forecheck and just creating havoc with his speed. And that was something the Devils really haven't had. You know, the lacking, he's a different kind of player, but, you know, since Zach Parise and Ilya Kovalchuk walked out the door, they just haven't had that kind of goal-scoring presence for the most part.
Andrew, Pavel Zacha, the 2015 sixth overall pick of the New Jersey Devils, he's played in all 20 games this year. He's got 2 goals and 6 points. What have been your impressions of Pavel Zacha here in his rookie year?
You know, I keep forgetting he's 19. I keep forgetting he's younger than my daughter, basically. you know, he's a big physical body. The goals have not been coming as frequently as he would like, or maybe the Devils would like, but I don't think there's that pressure on him yet to be, you know, a 25-goal scorer. He's been versatile. They've used him in the middle, although he struggles on faceoffs. He's been used more on left wing. He's been on the third line. He's been on the second line, a little time on the top line. They like how he can bounce around, and they like his poise, you know, for a 19-year-old kid. It's, like I said, it's very easy to forget that he's in his rookie season at times and that he's, you know, not yet 20 years old. He gets the game, and that's something it takes some players a little bit of a while to get.
Andrew, in 2013, Ezzie and I were in New Jersey for the draft, and we were there when Gary Bettman said, "You're going to want to hear this," when the New Jersey Devils traded for Corey Schneider. What has Corey Schneider meant for this team since that trade, and especially this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's, you know, early in the season, he kind of meant everything because they were getting points just how well he played. But, you know, the Devils for so many years just never had to worry about that position with Marty Brodeur. And, you know, credit Lou Lamoriello. He created a transition where it's the same thing. You don't have to worry about that position. He's so good. There's an economy of motion with him. You know, he's not the most flamboyant or, you know, most spectacular goalie to watch, and that's a good thing. He's just in position most of the time. Now, having said that, he had a really rough first period against the Maple Leafs, although he made up for it with his third period in overtime. And, you know, he was good at times in the third period last night. Like I said, the defensive structure wasn't there around him. But he has not been at his best over the last four or five games, and the Devils need to turn that around, and that ties into structure. But if you're looking at the overall picture, you know, playoff teams have a franchise goalie, so the Devils at least have that foundation to start.
Andrew Gross, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, discussing the New Jersey Devils. Andrew covers the team for the Record newspaper. You can see his work on NorthJersey.com as well. Andrew, you know, we talked about Taylor Hall. To get Taylor Hall, the Devils had to give up Adam Larson. How is the defense for the Devils, a sort of not overwhelmingly well-known defense, responded in the face of losing Larson, whatever you thought of him, maybe not worth the high draft pick that he was, but he certainly had developed into being a stable force on the Devils' back end?
Oh, yeah, no, he was a very steady top pair guy last year with Andy Green. You know, trading him certainly created a void, but I will say this. Like you say, it's not the most well-known top 6D in the league, but you know what? They're contributing to the attack, which is something they did not do last season enough. As a group last season, the Devils defensemen only had 20 goals, and they're already up to 12 this season, and we're only at the quarter pulse. So that's a good sign. You know, they have good skaters back there. I really like this 27-year-old rookie they got out of the Finnish Elite League, the French guy, Johan Ovitu. Mm-hmm. He brings a nice kind of, you know, playmaking ability and a big shot from the blue line to the defense corps. And the most immediate impact of trading Adam Larson is it's kind of furthered Damon Severson's development, because now he's that top pair guy with Andy Green, and Damon has just looked like a different player this season in terms of his consistency. He's still, you know, he had a brutal turnover last night that leads to a goal. He'll still have hiccups like that, but they are much fewer and far between than they have been in the past. And he's just playing a much more assertive game. You can see the confidence. He's going to the crease. He's not afraid to pinch. But he also is able to get back. So, you know, I think the Devils have to be happy with the development they've seen out of Damon.
Andrew, we've got one last question for you here. P.A. Parenteau mm-hmm. was claimed off of waivers by the Devils back in mid-October. He signed a one-year contract with the New York Islanders, and apparently they weren't interested in him. But how good of a move was that by Devils GM Ray Shiro? He's got 5 goals already this year.
Yeah, no, P.A. is great. I covered him, you know, when he was after he sort of broke into the league with the Blackhawks, a little cup of coffee in Chicago, but really when he was breaking in with the Rangers. And P.A. is just, he's just a happy guy, and he knows how, again, he knows how to play this game. Maybe he doesn't get there as fast as some other players, but you know what? He's usually twice as smart as some of the other guys on the ice in terms of seeing plays develop. He plays really good along the wall, and he also, on the power play, he can play at the point, he can play at the half wall. He's a versatile guy. He's played on left wing. He's been used, you know, mainly on right wing. And, yeah, it's one that was kind of perplexing. I don't think many people in the league quite understand what Dart Snow is doing there. I'm sure John Tavares would like some kind of explanation, because I think he was looking forward to playing with PA again. But, PA's kind of come in seamlessly and, again, been one of those veteran guys in the room, sort of like Michael Camilleri. He's just a guy that other guys, like, look to for a little bit of leadership. And, it fell in the Devil's lap. It really couldn't have worked out better. Plus, he's on a one-year deal. And I'll tell you what, you don't want to project ahead, because right now the Devils are in the thick of it. But for whatever reason, if they start fading, he's a chip they can get something for at the trade deadline if things start to go south for him. And it's all free for them, other than the $1.25 million in salary that the Islanders chose not to pay.
The old adage, there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract.
No, absolutely not.
Andrew Gross covers the New Jersey Devils for the Record newspaper in New Jersey. He's the author of the Fire and Ice blogging. You can read his work at northjersey.com. Andrew, appreciate your time, and we'll see you on Tuesday evening here in Winnipeg.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Likewise, Andrew. Thanks very much. Let's head to break. When we come back, we continue our evaluation of the Winnipeg Jets forward group. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
On TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
We continue our look at the Winnipeg Jets at the quarter mark of the season. We're handing out evaluations. We don't hand out grades on this show. We hand out evaluations. It's called the Ginsburg Scale, after Ezzy's dad, who gave us the suggestion. Players are evaluated based on the expectations we have for them. You get a plus one for exceeding expectations, a zero for meeting our expectations, and a minus one for underperforming our expectations.
By the way, Drew, you would get a minus one today.
I always get a minus one from you guys,
though. I would simply suggest that it should be called the Jay Ginsburg Scale, simply, or the John Ginsburg Scale, because, I mean, Ezzy's already got the Ezzy's named after him.
Sure.
We can't have everyone thinking that.
The Ezzy's have a date, I hear.
They do?
Yeah, they do. We're going to do it Monday, December 19th.
Monday, December 19th. Yep. So block off your calendars or burn your Twitter accounts.
Yeah, for the record, you might want to turn Twitter off that day, because it is going to be a takeover.
The Ezzy's take over the world of Twitter.
They do start to trend. Every year they do trend in Winnipeg.
It's hard, often Canada.
It's hard to believe.
Which is sad to say.
This is the fifth year, and these Ezzy's are going to be huge. We're going to make Twitter great again.
Monday, December 19th, the 2016 edition of the Ezzy's. So if you want an Ezzy, submit your request now to Ezzy at ICS.
Well, you can ask for an Ezzy.
Drew, you should be excited. You've won Host of the Year 4 years in a row.
I keep expecting to lose it at some point in time. I believe I also won Wedding of the Year. Laura and I won Wedding of the Year.
That was 2012.
That was 2012. Yeah. And I believe we won Baby of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that was more so for Aaron. But
Aaron won
I don't
Baby
think she has a Twitter account.
She doesn't. And we're going to keep it that way. Anyways, this segment of the show brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys are known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or visit their brand new showroom, 982 Portage Avenue, the corner of Portage and Sherbourne. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you.
Yeah, shout out to the Keener Jerseys guys. And I was tweeting at them yesterday, Drew, because the Kings announced that they're going to be bringing back those Burger King jerseys from the late 90s, and they're going to use them against the Jets.
Oh, really?
Do you think that they should have maybe claimed Andrew Hammond just to keep that real continuity going?
That's good.
Well done, David. Continuing on with our look at the Winnipeg Jets forwards, the next one up, the last player we did was Nick Petan. Next player on my list would be Drew Stafford. Of course, Stafford having been injured for a large part this season. Is it fair to give Drew Stafford a grade, or is it more of an incomplete at this point in time, given his injury status? He's only played eight games now this year. He's got two assists in eight games.
Yeah, I'm going to give him an incomplete here, guys. I mean, he's only played eight games, and I know a lot of people might say, I'm going to give him a below expectations, a minus one here, but I don't think he's played enough. And it's tough when you've only played eight games to get into a good flow of the season. So I'm going to go incomplete.
any quibbles, Dave, there? Or do you think that –
Well, I mean, I would say that I was leaning towards a minus one because, I mean, if you look at last year, and I did, if you look at what he produced in the beginning of the season, the first 10 games, when I compared the first 10 games of last year to the first 10 games of this year, Drew Stafford is one of the guys the Jets relied on to score goals. And he did that, and he scored, I think, 5 goals in the first 10 games for the Jets. And this year he had 0. So, I mean, I was disappointed to that point, and then, of course, he got injured. So, yeah, if we're going, you know,
You can give him a minus one.
I would give him a minus one. I think that if you're the winger that the Jets rely on, that like they do, then you have to produce, and he hadn't to that point.
A bit of a hard marker over here.
Yeah. My mom is a teacher. Son of a teacher. That's what happens.
Son of we got lots of sons of teachers in this room. You're a son of a teacher. I'm the son of a teacher. My father, of course, was a guidance counselor.
Aren't you the son of a preacher man too?
Oh, God.
All right, next one.
Marco Dano, 13 games played for the Winnipeg Jets. He's got 3 goals, 3 assists for 6 points. Marco Dano, a plus one, a even or a minus one based on your expectations for him?
You know, I'm feeling generous this afternoon. I'm going to give Marco Dano a plus one. And again, like Nick Petan, he was a guy that started the season with the Moose, and I think he's been good. 3 goals, 6 points. You know, he's cooled off a little bit here on the road trip, but I think Marco Dano has been really good playing on that third line with Adam Lowry and Brandon Tanev. They didn't put the puck in the net yesterday, but I like the way Dano's played.
He has, I would say he's met the expectations. Because
again, hard marker.
Yeah, well, you know what?
It's nice to see a bit of a hard ass.
No, I think what happened was I watched him a lot with the Moose, and I was impressed with what he was doing with Moose, and I'm impressed with what he's done with the Jets. Like he has played well, and the puck seems to follow him. But I mean, again, like he said, he's not dominating. Which I mean, not that Marco Dano is really going to be dominating anyways. But I think he's met the expectations. I don't think he's exceeded them though.
Next up is Adam Lowry, and Adam Lowry had a down year last year. This year, he's got 5 goals. He's got 2 assists for 7 points in 23 games played. Met your expectations, exceeded them, or matched your expectations?
I would say with Adam Lowry, he's met my expectations. I think he's been a little bit better maybe offensively as far as the goal scoring goes. He's on pace to set career highs as far as goals go. But, I mean, this is a guy that plays a lot of different roles for the Jets. So, you know, I expected him to, you know, kind of, you know, spend time on the third line, fourth line, wing, center, play a little penalty kill. We've seen Adam Lowry out on the power play more so than we have in previous years as well. So, for me, Lowry's met expectations. He's an everyday NHLer for the Jets.
I would say he's exceeded them because I didn't have particularly high expectations based on last year. I kind of was, you know, it was a disappointing year for Adam Lowry, and I thought he maybe was not necessarily going to take the step forward that he needed to. And I feel like he has. Like, I feel like, you know, his numbers overall are fairly consistent, fairly good for the role he plays. I think Lowry's done enough to say that he's exceeded my expectations for him.
Also, you know, we should mention, Dave, he leads the team in hits. And that's something that I think that this team has been lacking a little bit over the last couple of years. And, you know, they miss guys like Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian in that department. So I think Adam Lowry, you know, in addition to, you know, a Dustin Byfuglien, I think, you know, he's set the tone physically, which I think is important.
Well, again, I think it comes to the team wanting to possess the puck more, obviously, than focus on that. But you're right, as he definitely brings, he's played a more physical game. I mean, he's the biggest, probably one of the biggest guys on the team from the forward group, at least. And it's definitely, that's a noticeably lacking, is that, remember, Coach Maurice, when he first came in, was talking about how it was going to be physically painful to play against the Winnipeg Jets. Well, they don't really talk about that anymore.
No.
So I think that that's something that Lowry, you're right, as will have to bring, and does. So, no, I would say for me personally, he's exceeded my expectations.
Brandon Tanev has played every game for the Winnipeg Jets this year. He's got 2 goals and 1 assist for 3 points, more often than not in a bottom 6 role. How would you evaluate Marco Dano, Brandon Tanev at the 23-game mark?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I was very impressed with the way Brandon Tanev played in the preseason. I'm going to say minus one. Even though Brandon Tanev, you know, we expected Dave to be on the fourth line because of injuries to guys like Brian Little and Sean Mathias and others, Drew Stafford earlier, Brandon Tanev is currently playing on that third line. But, you know, 2 goals and 3 points in 23 games, he's got to be better. And I realize this is his first full year in the NHL, Dave, and he had a great career in American college hockey. But, you know, I expected more offense from him.
I'm going to go met expectations, simply because, again, I think it all happens to be on your perspective, of course, right? And so I look at it and I think to myself, well, what did I expect from Brandon Tanev? Did I expect him to have, you know, 5 goals, six assists at this point, or maybe a little bit more. His numbers overall aren't great, but you know, he's a young player. He brings a lot of energy. He kind of fits that role that Maurice wants on that fourth line. You know, occasionally moved up, but for the most part on the fourth line. I think he's met my expectations.
When we come back, we finish off the forwards. We look at the defense and the goalies. We're evaluating the Winnipeg Jets players at the quarter mark of the season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
On the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve. Our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. Ezzy, you're back out at bright and early tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., you and Jimmy Toth.
Yeah, Big Jimmy and I are going to be doing H&L tomorrow, 9 o'clock at Boston Pizza. So if you're in the neighborhood, you know, you're around downtown St. Mary Avenue, come on by.
There you go, exactly. This segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Should I give an update in the Michigan-Ohio State college?
No.
No? You guys don't care about any of these other sports that much, eh? About the playoffs.
I used to watch a little bit of college. I don't really care.
Well, anyways, Ohio State just defeated Michigan in double overtime.
Rivalry game, though.
Also, number two in the country versus number three in the country. So both of these teams quite possibly going to be playing in the college football playoff.
What's the capacity of that stadium? Like 100,000?
About 102,000, 103,000 wow. at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Crazy.
I mean, so they're going to party tonight in Columbus. Blue Jackets playing well. Aaron Portsline going to join us in about 30 minutes' time to talk about one of the surprising teams thus far in the NHL season.
And we're not giving any credit to Torts. It's all the players.
He was going to give you the credit. He was going to say that you were providing him with the motivation.
No, I'm all joking aside. I mean, Tortorella has done a great job. Columbus has been very surprising this year.
Yeah, we'll talk to Aaron Portsline coming up in 25 minutes or so. We're continuing with what we call the John Ginsberg scale, where we evaluate the Winnipeg Jets players at the quarter mark of the season.
By the way, I don't think my dad has got this much attention since ever. He was teaching Introduction to Calculus at the University of Winnipeg.
Yeah, fair enough. Where players get a +1 for exceeding expectations, a 0 for meeting expectations, or a -1 for underperforming expectations. Next up on our list is Andrew Kopp of the Winnipeg Jets. He's played 13 games this season. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists for 4 points. Again, often in a bottom six role, playing in that center ice position. What would you give Andrew Kopp? I think it is worth noting his face-off winning percentage is also only 36.7%.
Yeah, but it was good when he was playing with the Manitoba Moose, Dave. I believe it was 60%, if I'm not mistaken, at the AHL level. So, you know, Andrew Kopp, he's got into 13 games here, started the season with the Moose, as you mentioned, Drew. I'm going to give him a meeting expectation. So I'm going to give him a 0 here, okay, which isn't a bad thing.
Nope.
I mean, Andrew Kopp was the fourth line center for most of the year last year, and he's got a couple goals here, but I like Andrew Kopp's game. I think at the NHL level, he projects to be more of a third or fourth line guy, but he's a very smart player, makes simple plays. He can chip in a little bit offensively, and he has an underrated physical element to his game, Dave. He's a guy that's not afraid to go into the corners and mix it up a little bit, so I think Kopp's been just fine here.
I'm going to go has not met expectations.
Whoa.
No.
The hard marker, Dave Minuk, returns.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, I watched what he did last year, and I'm not saying I was wowed by it, but I thought he was steady and I thought he played well. And, he went down to the Moose. And again, kind of similar to Patan. He didn't blow me away with the Moose, but that's sometimes, to be expected with guys who play in the NHL, from the NHL to the AHL. But I thought he would come back up after, kind of working on his game at the AHL level and maybe kind of take it up a notch, and he hasn't. I mean, he's been okay, but his numbers aren't great. Mm-hmm. And I would say he hasn't met my expectations.
I suspect I know the answer to the next player. It's Alex Burmistrov. He's played in 20 games. He's still looking for his first goal on the season. He's got 2 assists.
Yeah, he has 0 goals in 20 games.
Yeah.
It's -1.
And you'd give him more if you could. You'd give him -2 if it was an option.
Yeah, well, there's no -2 on the John Ginsberg scale, but, Burmy has been awful this year. I mean, what else can I say?
Well, let's just say I won't want to revisit my article from last March.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to keep bringing it up. We keep bringing up that Ezzie predicted Todd Richards for the Jack Adams Trophy last year.
I was 1 year too early.
Yeah, he got fired very early in the season. Yeah. I think Burmistrov is also quite close to, quote-unquote, getting fired by the Winnipeg
Jets.
Yeah,
no, he's definitely been disappointing. You can't put your finger on the fact that as to why, because he has the potential. But he just can't seem to put it all together, and it's unfortunate for the team because they needed him to be that center, you know, especially a defensive center. He really, if he kind of takes that role, then there was that possibility. But again, like I said, he's no question; he's a minus one.
Chris Scorburn. He's done so once this year. He's got one goal. He's got 1 point. Yeah. No assist. 18 games played. Your evaluation on Chris Scorburn?
Yeah, and I'm going to say he's met expectations. And I realize, you know, the points haven't come for Chris Scorburn. He had 6 goals last year. He's only got 1 goal this year. And, you know, he was a healthy scratch a few times earlier in the season. I believe he was a healthy scratch 5 times this year. But, you know, I think he's been good when he's been in the lineup. I think he's been out there a little bit on the penalty kill. I mean, he's a guy that's most likely going to always be a fourth-line guy for this team. And, you know, I don't think he's met my expectations, but as far as providing that veteran leadership, that toughness, you know, he's been
He hasn't exceeded them because you said he met him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry. I meant to say I can't say that he's exceeded my expectations, but he has met my expectations and, you know, he's doing what you'd expect.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to say I'm going to take a no quibble on this one. I mean, look, the numbers aren't good for Chris Scorburn, but he's doing what you kind of expect him to do. So if you're saying, what are your expectations for Chris Scorburn when he's playing in the NHL? Then I would say he's met those expectations.
Kyle Connor, another rookie for the Winnipeg Jets, just coming back from an injury. He's played 17 games for the Jets. He's got 1 goal. He's got 3 assists. He's got 4 points in 17 games in his rookie season. Would you give him a plus one, a zero, or a minus one?
You know, I want to say that he's met my expectations, but I have to give him a minus one here. And I haven't given out a lot of minus ones here, but
three so far.
And Kyle Connor, you know, he's a guy that we knew there were going to be some growing pains in his first year in the NHL, Dave. But, you know, I expected more offensively from Kyle Connor. And, you know, certainly, you know, when you compare him to Patrick Laine, I wasn't expecting him to necessarily have 12 goals or 10 goals or whatever. But I also think that he struggled on the defensive side of the puck. So I think, you know, he's a guy that, you know, might get sent down to the American Hockey League later on this season. It might be earlier than we think. But certainly, you know, I was expecting a little bit more of him in his rookie year.
I would say he's not met my expectations. I came into the season having watched him and Jack Roslovic, and I actually came out of the rookie camp thinking Jack Roslovic was the better of the two players at that time. And then for training camp, I thought, Kyle Connor was showing what he's capable of, and I thought, this kid's really good. My general feeling is Kyle Connor could probably use time with the Manitoba Moose.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, if you gave Kyle Connor the opportunities that the Jets are giving Jack Roslovic, and I think they're making the absolute right decision to give Jack Roslovic time with the Moose. I think, like, there's no point in calling up a player like Jack Roslovic, and I think, to be honest with you, I think Kyle Connor would have been well served to be playing on that top line with Roslovic, Lemieux, whomever, and really kind of dominating at that AHL level as opposed to kind of being somewhat, you know, a throwaway player in the NHL level.
And Drew, that's not a bad thing. If Kyle Connor, you know, plays the rest of the season in the American Hockey League or a portion of the rest of the season in the American Hockey League, mm-hmm. the future is very bright for him. It just means, you know, for his development, it would be a little bit better if he went down there, played on one of the top two lines of the Moose, learned how to play the pro game, and then next year, you know, plays the majority of the season with the Jets.
And again, I feel like I need to qualify it, but the truth is that, again, I had high expectations for Kyle Connor. So simply because mm-hmm. he's getting a negative one doesn't mean he's a terrible player.
Yeah.
No. It just means that, you know, I was looking at him expecting this, and I got that.
It's why we give expectations and why we don't give grades, because grading is almost too difficult and unfair in this. It's simple a matter of, have you met your expectations? You get a plus one. Have you matched our expectations? You get a zero. Have you not met our expectations? You get a minus one. Matthew Perreault has been injured for much of the last month or so. He's played 11 games this season. He's got 1 goal. He's got 2 assists. He's got 3 points in 11 games for Matthew Perreault. Are you comfortable with giving him an expectation, a plus one, a minus one, or a negative, or an even, or would you declare him an incomplete?
Yeah, I got to give him an incomplete. He's missed over half of the games here for the Jets, and you know you could easily say that, you know, he hasn't met expectations. Drew 3 points in 11 games, but I just don't think he's played enough, you know, for me to really, you know, give a grade here based on 23 games. You know, if I did have to you know, give my grade, I would probably say that he hasn't met my expectations. You know, he was struggling offensively on that second line before he went down with an injury, but again, he's only played 11 games so far.
Are we not going to refer?
Go ahead. If you want to give, you know, you have the option. I'm giving you the I am a nothing if not a benevolent host. You can do as you please in this instance.
Well, I would say he's probably not met my expectations because I have high expectations for Matthew Perreault. I mean, he signed the new contract. You know, the Jets saw him as a leader, you know, especially on that potentially third line center, you know, sometimes on the wing. But for the most part, a guy who they had expectations behind Brian Little and Mark Scheifele is to be a, you know, kind of a role, you know, a significant role player on this team, and to date his numbers aren't great overall. I mean, I think it's hard because, again, he did get injured, so I'd like to be evaluating him based on 23 games versus only the 11, because the whole Jets team, again, and you don't want to make excuses for the team, but I'm just saying, like, the team just seems to be like gelling and reformatting and kind of trying to put it all together. So it's hard to kind of give it in totality when some players have played 23 and others have only played half that.
I don't care what you say. When you have two top six forwards out of the lineup and a top four defenseman, it's going to affect the overall team and the chemistry. Sure. And we saw that with the Dallas Stars. And it's not about excuses. It's just reality. No Brian Little and no Matthew Perreault in the lineup has hurt the Jets big time.
Joel Armia has played 10 games before he went down with injury. Yeah. He had a goal, he had three assists, he had 4 points.
Yeah, again, I incomplete. I mean, you know, Joel Armia is a guy that I had high expectations for based on his play last year, Drew. And I think Joel Armia, I had him as one of the protected guys under option one for the expansion draft. So, you know, I'd like to see more of Armia. He's only played, as you mentioned, the 10 games. But if we were basing it on those 10 games, I'd probably say he's met my expectations.
Dave?
Well, I'd say he's exceeded them because I thought he's been excellent. I think he's served a role. I think his defense has been phenomenal. I mean, I think any offense you get out of him is kind of a bonus. I think defensively he's been very sound, and I think he's been nice in the offensive zone. I think he's helped drive the play for the Jets. But, I mean, again, it's a small group of games. We're only talking 10 games that he's played before he went down with that lower body injury. But I would say he's exceeded my expectations.
Sean Mathias played 10 games before he went down with his injury. In those 10 games, he had 2 goals and 1 assist.
Yeah, again, same kind of situation as Joel Armia, right, Drew?
Yeah.
We haven't seen him much this year. And, you know, I'd probably say he was below expectations for me in those 10 games. I expected a little bit more offensively from him. And he's a guy that can kill penalties and stuff like that. And so, just like Armia, I want to see more from him this year.
Dave?
I would say he's met my expectations. I think he's been good. I think he just kind of did what he was supposed to do. So I think he met my expectations. But again, I mean, keep saying this, but
small sample size.
I'd like to see the whole.
There are just so many injured guys, Dave. Yeah. I mean, at one point they had 8 guys out of the lineup, and, you know, I think they're down to 6 right now. But
well, it's crazy. On IllegalCurve.com, I was literally doing an injury report like every 24 hours because there'd be like either a guy going on or a guy coming off, or more often than not, guy going on than coming off.
And then Brian Little, I'm going to assume you both are going to give him an incomplete, considering he played one period. But it was the best period in the history of hockey. He got a point in that period.
Well, he got a point, and he won 2 of his 3 draws.
There you go. He was on fire in that first period.
So we're going to give him a +1.
Yeah, so you're going to give him Brian Little an incomplete. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll look at the defense. We'll recap the forwards. We're evaluating the Winnipeg Jets players at the quarter mark of the season. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Legal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca.
Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Ron Jossel in town. He's here for another week. Fantastic comedian. Limited tickets available at rumorscomedyclub.com. And just a quick note about Saturday's shows. Tonight's shows are Rumors. They're about 30 minutes later than the normal Saturday start times, 7:45 and 10:30 for Rumors on this Saturday, accommodating some of the Christmas parties that are taking place, given that we're close to the end of November. It's Christmas party season. What are we doing for the Illegal Curve Christmas party this year?
I would
or
say
Hanukkah party, as the case may be.
More importantly, I'd say it's hard to believe it's the end of November, considering it is plus three right now.
It's beautiful. Lovely. You know, I said to Laura, it's a beautiful spring day outside.
Yeah. It's not, I'm not going to complain about global warming. Carbon, put the carbon in the air.
See you later, Vancouver. That your tongue is in your cheek when you make that comment.
My tongue is in my mouth. I don't know if it's in my cheek at this point. Go on.
I'm trying to make you sound not like a boor. I mean, you do that on your own, I suppose. I'm trying to throw you a lifeline.
I took atmospheric technology in school.
Do as you please then, Dave. I'd like to point out that Dave Manuk does not speak for Illegal Curve, nope. Illegal Curve Hockey, or any of our subsidiaries.
But I am a Manitoban, born and bred, and I'm telling you right now, it's nice times in Winnipeg right now.
It is. The weather is nice. We'll leave it at that. Let's continue on with our evaluation. We're going to look at the defensemen. We've already looked at the forwards. It's called the John Ginsburg scale. You get a plus
one. Hold on. Is it the John Ginsburg or the John Binsburg?
Who is this John Binsburg?
I'll tell you what. I'd replace John Binsburg with Ezzy Ginsburg. How about that?
You better get the name right, Drew, or okay. John's not going to be happy.
More importantly, you're not going to win an Ezzy for Host of the Year with that kind of performance.
Little slip of the tongue.
The John Ginsburg scale.
There we go.
You got a plus one for exceeding our expectations, a zero for meeting our expectations, a minus one for underperforming our expectations.
Maybe we should get my dad on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline during the last segment to maybe give us a grade.
Probably. We don't need to know what our audience thinks of us. I think we already know that. Nothing?
Pause.
No, nothing? Okay. We will get to the coaching staff and the goaltenders as well, but let's continue with the defense.
Are we going to also grade Dr. Craig Slonwhite, Drew?
I don't know. If you can give a performance, if you think you can grade him, then by all means, as you
Dave
can.
Was loving that one. I think Craig's done an awesome job. I mean, the Jets have been nice and fresh on the road.
Yeah, but they've been injury riddled. Is that the fault
of
the...
Well, I mean, that's not his fault.
Is that the fault of the medical staff or not?
No, it's not his fault.
Okay. Start with Dustin Byfuglien, the Winnipeg Jets' big defenseman, big money defenseman. He's wearing an A on his jersey. He's got 2 goals. He's got 10 assists. He's got 12 points in 23 games. What evaluation would you give to Dustin Byfuglien?
You know, Drew, based on those offensive numbers, some could argue that maybe you would give him a minus one and he hasn't met expectations. But Dustin Byfuglien has played more minutes on defense this year than in any other year, and that's partly due to the fact they didn't have Jacob Trouba earlier in the season, and now they're without Tyler Myers. But Buff has played big time minutes in all situations, even strength, and both on the power play and the penalty kill. You know, he's set the tone physically in many games, and he's made big offensive plays for this team, and the goals will come. I realize that, you know, he's not on a 19 goal pace like he was last year, so I'm going to give him a zero
for meeting your expectations.
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, no, I'm fine with Dustin Byfuglien being a zero. I look at his numbers overall. And you know what? It's funny. With Byfuglien, I don't know why, but his mistakes seem glaring. So they sometimes are bigger than they get magnified. Maybe it's because he's such a big presence on the ice. But I mean, yeah, I mean, look, he's made a number of errors throughout the last little bit. But part of that can be attributed to the fact that, like as just said, he's been playing an insane amount of minutes. And, I you look at what you get with Dustin Byfuglien, and the guy's just a tank. I mean, he throws guys around like it's not like nothing. He can control the play. And does he make some mistakes that you kind of sitting there going, you're scratching your head going, what is Dustin Byfuglien doing? But the truth is, I kind of bake that into my expectations of Dustin Byfuglien.
Sure.
So that's the reason why I would say he's met my expectations.
Hold on. Are we getting a cake from Baked Expectations here?
Did you order one?
Well, no. Dave just said he baked it into his expectations.
I understood what he's saying, but unless you ordered a cake, we're not getting one.
Well, I don't know. I was just hoping maybe there'd be a cake.
Yeah, it's not the way the world works. You don't just get to say, I want food item and have magical food items show up.
You know what's going to happen.
2 weeks ago, we got that free Jericho pizza, Drew, so dreams do come true.
I think that would be the exception, not the rule, just for the record.
All right.
Toby Enstrom. We talked about him earlier in the show. He's left the team to go deal with a family situation in Sweden. He's got 1 goal, 6 assists for 7 points in 22 games thus far this season. How would you evaluate Toby Enstrom thus far?
You know, shockingly, I'm actually going to give him a plus one, even though those offensive defensive numbers haven't been there, Drew, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to give him plus one. I think he's been better defensively than he was last season, and I think he struggled at times last season on the defensive side of the puck, and those offensive numbers, I think we know Tobias Enstrom is more of a distributor, guys. He's not going to be a guy that scores 15 or 20 goals like Buff. He's going to be a guy that has more assists than goals. But I think Enstrom has been very solid for this team. And, you know, Morrissey and Buff has been the top pair, but Enstrom has been very solid on that second pair, regardless who he's been paired up with, which has most likely been Tyler Myers. So I'm going to say plus one for Enstrom.
I would say plus one, too. I you kind of think that Enstrom... like, I've always thought of him as a solid defenseman, and I always kind of thought he was kind of, based on his size, because he wasn't a big, bruising, hulking defenseman. You know, I always have that picture of him going up against, like, Getzlaff in the playoffs, and it's just, it's such a, you know, disparity. But I've always been a fan of Enstrom. I think that he does a lot of good things, and again, like, I know he has his detractors, but I would say he's exceeded my expectations, because I think his numbers have been okay. They're not great, but maybe he's met my expectations. Maybe he's met. I think he's met my expectations. I'm gonna switch it mid thought to keep it to.
You took a plus one away from Toby.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it. Well, because you know what? Again, it wasn't that I didn't have high expectations. I just thought like I think I was going that way because his shots, like he wasn't shooting the puck as much as he should have been. But he's done that more. But I'm gonna stick with the zero.
I'm gonna start calling Dave Principal Skinner.
Tyler Myers has only played 11 games after suffering a number of different injuries this year. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists for 5 points in the 11 games he played.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you could give him an incomplete here because he's only played half of the games, Drew, but I'm going to say he's met my expectations. He's an even. I mean, when Tyler Myers is in the lineup, you know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to play big-time minutes. He's going to play 23 or 24 minutes or more, you know, depending on the situation. But he's a steadying influence there on the back end. And, you know, you'd like maybe more offense from Tyler Myers sometime, or you'd expect him to be more physical sometimes because he's 6'7", you know, and 220-plus pounds. But I think he's been excellent for the Jets since he came over from Buffalo. And again, it's unfortunate he hasn't played more this year.
I would say he's met my expectations. I think, like, I had high expectations of Tyler Myers, you know, and unfortunately, you know, somewhat peculiarly, he's been injured twice in Colorado and on a Friday night in the back-to-back. But, yeah, I would say he's met my expectations. Like, you know what you're getting with Tyler Myers. He's controlled the play. He's been a nice addition to this team since the trade from Buffalo. But yeah, I would say he hasn't. He's met my expectations for him.
Josh Morrissey has played every game for the Jets this season. He's got 1 goal, 3 assists for 4 points in those 23 games.
Plus one, Drew.
Plus one for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I also had high expectations for Josh Morrissey. I thought he was really good, especially in the second half of the year for the Moose last year, Dave. But, you know, what else can you say? Playing on the top pair with Dustin Byfuglien, what's impressed me the most, Dave, is the way Morrissey plays in his own zone. He's a very smart defenseman, and sure, the offensive numbers aren't there, but, you know, I'm not expecting him to get 40 points in his rookie season. He'll start to get more points the more he plays in the NHL. He's only 21 years old here. Very impressed with Morrissey. I'd give him a plus two if Professor Ginsburg allowed that.
Yeah, I think there's no question. Like, I watched him a lot, almost every game last year for the Moose until he got hurt. I think it was against the Iowa Wild towards the end of the season. And then didn't come back and play any more games. But, you know, he's been very solid. You know, and again, people, we live in an instant gratification society. So when someone takes, you know, a little bit longer to develop, it's Panic at the Disco. But the truth is that I think Josh Morrissey's really been complimentary to Dustin Byfuglien. His numbers have been solid. You know, he's not putting up a tremendous amount of goals and assists right now, but I think he's been doing a lot of the little things. Like, he's really covered for Byfuglien, actually, a lot of times defensively. And his stick has been, he's been smart like Enstrom, not a big guy, but knowing how to use his stick, keeping without getting penalties. I've been impressed by Josh Morrissey's transition to the NHL, no question. I think you got to give him a plus one.
Paul Postma's played 17 games so far this season. He's still looking for his first goal, but he's got 3 assists.
Yeah, I'd probably give him a plus one. I didn't think Paul Postma was going to play this much, to be honest with you. And he's been pretty solid. And again, you know, he doesn't have a goal, as you mentioned, Drew, in 17 games, but he's been very solid in his own zone. He's a guy that you expect to play, you know, 10 or 12 minutes a game, something like that. So no problems with the way he's played.
I would give the postman met expectations. I think that he's, you know, maybe I'm with Ez in the sense that I don't know that I expected him to play that much based on what, you know, what the Jets may or may not have done. But You know, I think he's been fine. Like, I think his numbers are okay. And, yeah, I would say he's met my expectations.
Ben Chiarot's played 22 games, all but one game on the Jets' blue line. He's also got three assists this season. What would you, how would you evaluate Ben Chiarot?
You know, Drew, I got to give him an even. And, you know, Ben Chiarot playing on the top pair with Dustin Byfuglien last night, but he's most of the season, he's either been on the second pair or the third pair for the Jets. That's obviously changed since Jacob Trouba came back there. But, you know, the numbers haven't been there for him offensively. But, you know, Chiarot plays a very solid game. And, you know, I can't give him a plus one or a minus one. I expected him, you know, to be similar to what we've seen in the past, a guy that plays pretty responsibly in his own zone, as I said, and, you know, adds a little bit of physicality, sometimes jumps up into the play there. But, yeah, I'm going to go even.
I'm going minus one. I think that his numbers haven't been good at all. And I think that, you know, I mean, you come in with Ben Chiarot and you have an, like, he's not going to be anything to flashy, and you kind of want him just to be that slow and steady defenseman. But I don't know, just doesn't seem to have been able to transition to this year the way he played last year. And no, I'd say he's a minus one for me.
Thanks for that, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Last two guys, Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba, they've both played eight games this season. Both are looking for their first point on the season so far.
Sorry.
Stewart and Trouba. Yeah. Do Stewart first, then do Trouba.
Why are they together?
Because time is running out.
Okay. And it's eight plus eight is 16, so it's kind of
okay, well, Trouba, I got to give him an incomplete. He's only played eight games, but if we're basing it on those eight games,
yeah,
I'd probably say that he's met expectations. I don't think he's maybe produced enough offense for my liking, but, I mean, he comes into the season late. He didn't have a full training camp. I think he's been okay.
I would say he's met my expectations. I mean, you could say he's fresher than everybody else because he didn't have the contact with and have to travel and all that stuff. But at the same time, he also hasn't had the opportunity to really, you know, train the way an NHL player should be training in, you know, prior to the season and during the season. So my guess is that he's been okay. He hasn't been great, but I think he's been solid enough that he's met my expectations.
Quickly, Mark Stewart now.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's probably met expectations. It's unfortunate Mark Stewart hasn't gotten into as many games, I think, as he'd liked. And, you know, he had a rough night last night, especially on that third goal. But I'm going to say he's met expectations.
I didn't have particularly high expectations for him, so I guess I would say he's met them. Although if I base it on yesterday, I would say he's minus one.
It's okay. We'll figure it out. When we come back later on at the last segment, we will touch on the goaltenders and the coaching staff and the front office and everything else. Let's go to break and bring in Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch to talk about the surprising Blue Jackets. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
1290.ca.
Just past the bottom of the hour, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Pleased to welcome back to the show our very good friend from the Columbus Dispatch, Aaron Portsline. Aaron, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Aaron. A big, huge win for Ohio State just mere minutes ago, but I presume you're in Florida with the team?
I am not, but I'm not doing college football either. My great colleague Tom Reed is there in Florida. Took a couple extra days on the back end of Thanksgiving here.
Attaboy, that's good for you. You deserve it. Working very hard to cover the Blue Jackets for the Dispatch. Blue Jackets, one of the surprising teams in the NHL thus far, with a 11-5-3 record early in this season. You know, they're up there. They're third in they're scoring a ton of goals with 61. They're third in goals against with 45. You know, what's been the secret to this Blue Jackets success so far this season?
Yeah, well, I think there's so many things that if you put them on your wish list before the season started, so many of them have come true here. Sergei Bobrovsky is healthy. I think that's been maybe the biggest part. As for the play of the other spots of the ice, Zach Werenski, the rookie defenseman, has been an absolute revelation. And he's had some bumps here lately, but his play, his mobility with his feet, moving the puck, has really brought this team a different look, where the defensemen now are engaged with the forwards I think his style of play has sort of bled into some others. Seth Jones has taken an enormous step forward. Looks like a number one defenseman now. I don't think you could say that last year. The captain, Nick Foligno, is back, a point-of-game guy. Cam Atkinson's a point-of-game guy. Alexander Wennberg, now third-year pro, has sort of been limited offensively his first couple years, but now he's a point-of-game player. So many things have turned around that they would have been selfish, I think, expecting all of these things to come to pass. But so far here, first quarter of the season, that's how it's played out.
You know, Aaron, you just mentioned Alex Wennberg, who's centering that top line, and every time I watch this guy play, I'm more and more impressed, and he actually had a pretty quietly good 40-point season last year with the Columbus Blue Jackets, a season, as you know, which was a major disappointment. What's been the biggest difference between Alexander Wennberg's approach and game this year as compared to his first 2 years in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think he was rushed to the NHL 2 years ago and probably shouldn't have been. Here they had some injuries where they were forced to keep him. Otherwise, I don't know that he makes the team right out of training camp. I think he was just hanging on for the first year. He's always been a defensively sound player. He's always on the right side of the puck. The first year he was 4 goals, 16 assists, 20 points. Last year he doubled those numbers exactly. And so far this year he's on pace to double them again. There's a confidence there. There's, I think, a physical ability with his size and his strength that certainly wasn't there his first year. He's now over 200 pounds, where when he first came into the league, I think he was at 183, 185. So he's winning pucks that he didn't win before. And, I, you know, that's a hard position. Maybe defenseman is the hardest position to learn as a young player. I think centerman's right up there. And every year that he's been here, he's played, I think, one spot too high in the lineup, and maybe now he's starting to catch up to a comfort zone. You'd see him pursue pucks last night after he lost faceoffs, win pucks along the boards. That was not a strength area of his game the first couple of years, and starting to become that.
Aaron, you tweeted that this 8-2-2 stretch in November is the best in Jackets history. Is this the best team that Columbus has ever been able to ice since expanding in 2000?
You know, I'm not ready to go there just yet. They're certainly on that trajectory here. I think it's the most talented team they've had in terms of depth and in terms of potential. They're still really young. If you look at their back end, when they're healthy, four of their six guys are 23 years old and younger. And that is unheard of at the NHL level. Even today, when so many more young players are making their way into the lineup, there's going to be some tough spots. I just think it's hard to go over the course of an 82-game season when you're talking about a player like Zach Werenski, who's used to playing 35, 40 games in college. So we'll see where it goes. The potential is absolutely there for them to be a really, really good team. I still think they've got some minor moves to make as the season moves along to enhance themselves. But the potential is there for I think, a really good team for a number of years. But we've said that before. We've got to be careful.
Aaron Portsline is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're discussing the surprising Columbus Blue Jackets off to an impressive start this season. Aaron, prior to last year, which was an absolute disaster of a season for Sam Gagne, he only had 16 points in 53 games. Prior to last year, he'd been consistently, you know, let's say a 40 to 45 point player in the NHL. So far this year, he's got 12 points in 18 games for the Blue Jackets, all for the low price of $650,000. Is this proving to be one of the best off-season free agent signings? And is he showing that he is more of the 40 point player than he was the 16 point player last season?
Well, he certainly looks like a 40-point guy here for the Blue Jackets. It's such an interesting thing how these work. The Blue Jackets signed Gagne, just being honest, because they didn't think they were deep enough down the middle. They had questions about Wennberg, questions about William Karlsson. So Gagne signs as a maybe a second-line guy, maybe a third-line guy, see what he gives you. And he plays two games at center, and they decide he can't play at center. John Tortorella makes him a healthy scratch. They bring Lucas Sedlak up, who I'm guessing not many people have heard of. Mm-hmm. Sedlak starts to hold down the fourth line, and then Gagne finds a spot on the wing of the fourth line. It's a weird role that he's in, but he's making it work, and the team is too. Fourth line winger, that's his normal 5-on-5 role, but he takes the draws on the number one power play unit, which has been fantastic. He's getting a lot of points that way. He's really carved out a niche here. I don't know how it fits long-term here, because if he maintains this pace, I'm not sure they're interested in re-signing a guy who's a fourth-line right winger for them for the money that he's going to make. But I do think Gagné is well on the way. He's only 20, I think, 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
But he's well on his way to resurrecting his career. The skill has always been there. Interesting little wrinkle here, too. He's working with Adam Oates. And Oates, as a former NHL guy, of course, has a number of players that reviews all of his game clips after every game. This is a guy outside the coaching staff in Columbus, mm-hmm. a side coach, if you will. And Gagné thinks that's really helped him, just to have the perspective of obviously a great player and playmaker, as Adam Oates was, to look at his game and provide an outside counsel to him. But it's been a really interesting and so far highly successful match.
Yeah, Mark Scheifele, of course, works with Adam Oates here as well, and we know how good of a season he's off to here in Winnipeg.
Aaron, I got to ask you about Scotty Hartnell. He's always been one of my favorite hockey players, and you know, this year again, he's producing for the Blue Jackets. He's got 4 goals and 11 points in 19 games here, and a lot of people thought he might be moved. He's got another 2 years left on his contract after this year at $4.75 million a year. Is he still a guy that they might want to move, or has he proven that he's a valuable member to this team? And even at 34 years old, he's got a future with this Blue Jackets team.
Yeah, well, the first thing that has to be said is he has a no-move clause. He took it away from – he lifted it early this season because they were interested in trading him. Maybe he was interested in being traded, too. I'm not sure what he expected his role to be. And then it got to be August 1st, and Scott Hartnell woke up one day and decided he was done being on the market. So he called the Blue Jackets or had his agent do it and told him that I want my no-move clause put back in place. I want to be here. I want to win here. As he put it, there's been enough guys who have come here to find glory, and when it hits the rough spot, they take off. He wants to be part of it when it actually follows through, which is a nice sentiment. We'll see where this team is at the trade deadline. I think it's easier to trade Scott Hartnell this year at the trade deadline because the term now is of more reasonable length. Last year was really difficult. So it's something to keep in mind. I think if it gets to the trade deadline, even if Columbus is in a good spot, it could be a matter of where am I being traded to. If you send me to a playoff team that absolutely is going to make the playoffs and I've got a chance to win a Stanley Cup, then I think you could see him sign off on it. But it may just be a fit to the end of his contract, which is not something I would have expected last year.
So, Aaron, you mentioned that Hartnell's got the no-move clause, and so does Nick Foligno and Brandon Dubinsky, so he's going to be exempt for the expansion draft. Who are the Columbus Blue Jackets maybe a little bit afraid of losing here in the expansion draft? Do you think they're going to go with option one and protect 10 skaters and one goalie, or do you think maybe they use option two and protect 4 defensemen?
Well, it's tempting to say 4 defensemen with the youngsters that they've got. I'm not quite clear where this is going. I still think there's some shuffling to be done here. And the one wrinkle that needs to be considered in Columbus is David Clarkson, mm-hmm. who at this point would have to be protected, even though he's may never play again with the back injury. If David Clarkson is willing to waive his no-move clause, the team does not have to protect him. And I'm told that is still possible. That out is still there for teams. I think that changes the look of this club immensely. Now, there was the worry that maybe Korpisalo or Anton Forsberg, their top prospect goaltenders, would be dangled out there and would be absolutely one of them snapped up. Korpisalo has not had a great start to this season. I'm not sure that that's the case anymore either. The Blue Jackets have an interesting situation because of the long-term and no-move clauses in the contract. And the young defenseman, clearly Seth Jones is going to be protected. Clearly Ryan Murray. Clearly the young stud Wennberg is going to be protected now. They have to protect Foligno and Dubinsky. So the list fills up pretty quickly. I still think there's some maneuvering to be done on teams' parts that's going to change the outlook of that dramatically.
Aaron, you reported in your Columbus Dispatch column that Coach Tortorella said, quite honestly, some guys need to be pushed out with some youth. Is this merely a coach trying to motivate his veteran players, or is that something he really believes?
I think it's the former. I really do. I think it's the Hartnells, Gagnés, those kind of players. I think that's what it is. Tortorella is such a fascinating guy. And I've only been covering him for a little more than a year now. So I'm not entirely probably licensed to read the man psychologically. But so much of what he says is, I think, premeditated and is done in a way to push certain buttons in the room. He'll say some things four or five times over in the course of one interview where you're pretty sure that he's basically saying, can you please write this? Put this in a headline somewhere. Can you make sure someone still reads this? He wants it out there. He is, look, there's been so much talk about Tortorella and has the game passed him by. The World Cup did not do him any favors. Mm-hmm. Certainly Vancouver didn't do him any favors. I think it would be remiss to look at the situation in Columbus right now and not pay heed to the fact that John Tortorella has done a hell of a job with this team. There are not very many people, my opinion, have the strong enough personality and character and the bold approach to this that can push this boulder up the hill, which has never quite made it all the way up the hill yet. This is a huge undertaking to change the culture of this franchise, change the mindset in the dressing room that a 3-2 overtime loss is not a good point anymore. He's really taken a lot of this on himself. This is the kind of project he really wanted. It reminds him of his Tampa days when they were a young franchise when he took over that didn't know how to win, didn't know how to be professional. The one thing, if you're looking for an overarching comment on what has changed in Columbus, the mood in the dressing room, the performance of the players on a nightly basis, on and off the ice, has been much more professional.
Aaron Portsline covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for the Columbus Dispatch. Aaron, always appreciate your time and your insight into the Blue Jackets. Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again soon. Thanks very much, Aaron.
Yep.
When we come back, we'll finish our quarter mark evaluation by looking at the Jets goaltenders and the coaching staff.
And we have to do Grey Cup predictions.
Okay, and we'll do Grey Cup predictions, apparently, that we have to do. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. One final segment this Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290. Quick programming note about Wednesday's NHL this week. It's on the regular day, that being Wednesday. It's on an irregular time, which is 10 p.m. So if you enjoyed the late night NHL this week, this past week, we're going to do it again Wednesday, 10 o'clock. As you got to start mainlining your Red Bull now, get a nice IV of adrenaline going straight into the bloodstream. You'll be good for Wednesday.
You know, Drew, I didn't mind doing the 10 to 12 show on Tuesday, but I didn't really like, I don't think Joel appreciated this either, when you took a nap in the fourth segment.
Somebody else had to carry the weight for a little while. I was getting a little tired. What can I tell you? Anyways, again, Wednesday, NHL this week, 10 p.m., right after the Moose game. Let's continue and finish up our evaluation of the Winnipeg Jets players at the quarter mark of the season. We've gone through the forward group. We've gone through the goaltenders. We've gone through the defense. We're now going to look at the goaltenders. We start with Jets starting goaltender, Connor Hellebuck. He's played 16 of the Winnipeg Jets games. He started 15 of them. He's got a record of 7 wins and 8 losses. A save percentage of .906. And a goals against average of 2.74. What would you say about Connor Hellebuck? Is he get a +1 for exceeding your expectations, an even for meeting your expectations, or is he a -1 for underperforming your expectations thus far this season?
Yeah, underperforming expectations for me, Drew. Connor Hellebuck gets a -1, and you know, I expected him to be better. I think he's had some good games, but he's had some pretty bad games as well. I think of that New York Rangers game on the road where Connor Hellebuck was pulled in favor of Michael Hutchinson. I believe that was a 5-2 game that the Jets lost. So, I mean, I expect Connor Hellebuck to be better. And I expected I expected big things out of Connor Hellebuck this year. And, you know, he struggled. And, you know, the Jets decided to run with Connor Hellebuck this year. They sent Andre Pavlik down to the American Hockey League, and you know, I think Hellebuck's got to be better, and I think he will be better.
His numbers have steadily decreased as the Jets have, obviously. I mean, with the Jets continuing to lose and Connor Hellebuck being the starting goalie, he's seen it, and his goals saved above average, which is a stat a lot of guys use to kind of evaluate goaltenders, has really decreased. I think it's -3.4 And it basically, his numbers just haven't been good. And so he himself hasn't been great. And he needs to be better. And I would say he hasn't met expectations simply because I had high expectations having watched him in, you know, with the Jets and the Moose last season and having high expectations for Connor Hellebuyck. Do I think he can be better? Do I think he can meet the expectations? Yeah, but you're going to have to wait till the next time we do this to find out if he rebounds, maybe.
Yeah. Michael Hutchinson has been the clear backup goaltender on this Winnipeg Jets team. He's started 8 of the Jets' 23 games this season. He's got a 2-4-2 record, having lost twice in overtime. Save percentage, sub-900. It's .896. A goals against average, over 3. It's 3.26. Your evaluation on Michael Hutchinson.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I'm going to have to give Michael Hutchinson a negative 1. And I had high expectations for Michael Hutchinson in the backup role. But he hasn't been good enough this year. And, you know, he had the shutout on the road against Colorado. I would say that was his best game of the season. But, you know, you mentioned it, Drew. Goals against 3.26, save percentage 8.96. The goals against, to me, isn't as concerning as the save percentage because, as you guys know, the goals against is really more of a stat that reflects team defense. But 8.96 save percentage, it's got to be better.
Again, I'm just looking at the Michael Hutchinson's play hasn't been good. I mean, he really could have been. He had the opportunity to seize it because early on, neither guy was really stepping up. And so Michael Hutchinson, while everybody is anointing Connor Hellebuyck as the next one in the future one or the present one to be the future one, Michael Hutchinson in the interim could have been that guy for the year at least. And then Connor Hellebuyck could have, in theory, backed him up. And the point is that he didn't assume that mantle. His numbers haven't been good. He hasn't been great. I would say, I didn't expect him to be like lights out, like dominating, but I thought he would be better in a backup role than he has. So I would say he's not met my expectations.
Last individual we're going to evaluate is the Winnipeg Jets head coach, and that's Paul Maurice. You know, he doesn't have any stats aside from, I guess, the team's record and the way they've been performing. And
well, the winning percentage is 43.435, so.
And some of his coaching decisions that, you know, we spoke about really at the start of the show, particularly benching Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, and Patrick Laine for the entirety of the third period in yesterday's loss to the Nashville Predators. Looking at Paul Maurice's entire body of work through 23 games this season, what evaluation would you give him?
Yeah, I got to give Paul Maurice a -1, unfortunately. I'm a big fan of Paul Maurice as a head coach, but we're basing this on the first 23 games of the season. And you look at how the Jets just played on the road trip, 5 losses in a row. I don't think they've been consistent enough. And that depends on what your expectations were for the Winnipeg Jets this year, Dave. I thought that they could make the playoffs, and I still do think they can make the playoffs. It's still early enough, you know, American Thanksgiving or no American Thanksgiving. But, you know, some of the decisions that Paul Maurice has made, you know, whether it's, you know, the forward line combinations or some of the decisions he's made on special teams, I think have been puzzling. So I based on the first quarter of the season, you know, I'm not saying that he's necessarily done a poor job. But I think when you look at the win-loss record, and that's what coaches are based on at the end of the day, right? It's a results-driven business, Drew, and you know the Jets aren't playing well enough right now as far as I'm concerned.
You know, it's amazing what 10 days can do because, you know, if it's 9-7-2 or whatever the Jets were, you know, record-wise before, you'd be giving Paul Maurice potentially just, you know, you'd be adjusting your numbers. I would say Paul Maurice would probably give himself a -1, and he somewhat did so simply be based on what his comments were, which was, I didn't have the team prepared following that disastrous
game.
You know, exactly. And didn't show up for the Boston game. And he basically put it on himself. And the fact is that if that's the coach's responsibility to have his team prepared and they haven't, then you can't reward him by saying that he's, you know, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is we didn't know what the coach was going to have based on the youth of this team, but there was enough veteran presence that we had an expectation. I myself did, was that this would be a playoff team. And again, if you ask me this same question in 10 games or maybe in 20 games, I could have a different answer for you. But as of right now, based on where this team is, and again, it's unfortunately for Paul Maurice coming at the end of a 5-game losing streak. So that's when you're asking the question. But as of right now, I would give him a -1.
After all the numbers have been tabulated and all the evaluations have been given, Ezzy, you end up with the Jets having 2 points on the scale where guys get a +1, a 0, or a -1. You have the Jets, after evaluating all the forwards, all the defensemen, and all the goaltenders, and factoring in all the incompletes, you have the Jets with a +2,
so far at the quarter mark of the season.
On his Ginsburg, on John Ginsburg.
On the John Ginsburg.
Yeah, and we have to say, I'm much more generous than Dave is. Dave is a very hard marker.
Dave, after all your numbers are totaled, you have the Winnipeg Jets players with a -1 on the John Ginsburg scale.
It's not that different.
Well, it's a different. When we did it last year, a 3-point spread was pretty different.
All right, well,
if I recall correctly.
I'd like to, if I could right now, and maybe we can get some music here because I believe it's at the end of the show. I would like to give Rory a +1
for producing the show.
Yep.
No, and for finishing off his whole thing.
You finished the entire thing.
I'm going to give
eating it for the last 3 hours.
Yeah,
so
producer Rory gets a +1.
Okay,
And I think I'm going to give the rest of us a -1.
Yeah, sounds about right. That's it for this Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch, David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period, Willie Donick, Nashville Predators TV voice, and Andrew Gross, who covers the New Jersey Devils. In case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes and on IllegalCurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. Big props to producer Rory. He is a +1 in our books. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.